You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. If you guys haven't checked out the new Navigator series from Lacrosse, I strongly suggest you do that. Two really good boots within that Navigator series, the Windrose and the Atlas. If you want to find out more information about all of the boots that Lacrosse offers, visit their website, lacrossefootwear.com. You won't regret it.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming back on another podcast here. Gonna kind of, I guess, now we're in February, we're right in the heart of, there's so many habitat management projects going on, but there's a lot of projects, a lot of irons in the fire for Matt and I here with Land and Legacy. We do, as we wear many hats,
we wear many hats and many types of boots,
I should say, too, because there's consulting boot, and there's real estate boot, and there's church boot, and
absolutely
boot scoot and boogie, because we just got so many things going on as we continue to build our business. And I mean, we started from scratch, and what we're trying to build and do, and a lot of exciting stuff. And one of those things that, as you guys have heard us talk a little bit, I mean, we do the land consulting, kind of the natural resource management restoration side, where we're helping landowners across the country restore habitats to where they can have more animals and improve their hunting and their whole outdoor experience. But then we're also real estate agents, so we're helping people find their dream farm, or help, that's kind of the idea for us, is helping our clients find the next property, or find the property that they want to call home for them, their kids, their grandkids, and long into the history books. But a big part is also, as we've started this transition, is also helping our podcast listeners who are planning to find the dream farm reach out to us, and we ensure that they can find the farm that's going to be the quickest transition to reach their goals. And then also helping, as you'll hear in this podcast, helping people invest in land, not just something to buy and hold on forever, but you know, there's all kinds of people who invest their money or invest in certain things to grow their wealth, and many other things, but investing in land, so some people can invest in the stock market or invest in other businesses, and there's people that invest in land. And this is a podcast about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, with this podcast, I think it's certainly important to talk about on the front end, is what we're going to share is a culmination of all these different elements that we've been working on for several years to put together. And we've done it with other landowners in the past, but this is a project that definitely be very hands-on with, which Adam and I are both very excited about. But at the very heart of it, what's going to happen and transpire over the next few years is opportunity, for one, new memories, but then two is we're creating the potential, or assisting to create the potential, for new families to get outdoors and have the experiences that we all love and just cherish. So I think that at the root of it, you know, to take the real estate component, the new relationships, the working the property, some just really habitat restoration projects that are restoring some extremely unique and fragile landscapes, on top of hunting, all of these things combined, it's going to be an incredible project in a beautiful part of the country.
Absolutely.
And we are pumped.
A great part of the country to be in.
Yes.
As you'll hear us discuss, the amount of diversity within the habitat, but within the species to enjoy, to hunt, and then just overall the investment side of it of, you know, this is something that, this is an investment that is one of those that we have a group, an investment group, buying a farm, and unlike some of the other investments there are, stocks and things, they're going to get to enjoy it while their money's there, while they're invested in this farm. So there's going to be the enjoyment side of it, the family involvement side, and then in a couple of years, there'll be the relist and sell to find the next family or buyers to carry on the torch. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to see this thing. And we're going to be bringing a ton of updates throughout the life of this as well. This isn't just going to be a, hey guys, here's this farm. Oh, a couple of years later, here it is again. We finished. We want to kind of talk everybody through it and just kind of bring more light to the farm, because it is a really neat project, really cool landscape.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a really cool one, and hopefully you guys will enjoy Brenton, and you'll be hearing more from him in the future. And man, I can't wait to share with everyone the whole, just the diversity of the plants and the whole transition. A lot of cedars are going to be hitting the ground. That's going to be awesome. But it's one of those that, you know, you'll hear us talk in this podcast about kind of the rich history of the Les Hills, but also just, you're going to get to see a major transition happen in a couple of years. That's something that for a lot of us, it happens over the lifetime or over 10 years plus. And this is an investment, so there's a lot of guts behind it. So there's going to be a quick transition occurring here. So,
but I think
I'm excited
that's also
for
important.
It.
It's also important to share just how fast these transformations though can be, you know, and how responsive nature is. And this is why we talk about, you know, disturbances and everything so often and so much, is because, and especially in a landscape like this, when you do this work, we know what's going to happen, and it's going to be awesome. So, just further encouragement for anyone listening, guys, get out there and do it. This is the time of the year.
Like not only said. That too, but I think that, not to toot our own horn by any means, but having a plan in place for Brenton and group
and his team,
that they're going to be able to, they know exactly the best way to attack it, the time of the year to attack it, and how to make the quickest transition possible. It's like, where is the value? Is the value in just knowing what to do and to make the quickest turnaround possible, or to teach yourself how to make this happen and then try to cram that into the quickest turnaround possible? And that's why we get to be involved in it, is making sure we're as productive as possible.
Because that's the thing, when you have just a few growing seasons to make something happen and see these big changes, boy, you better make sure you're doing things at the right time of the year.
We've had that discussion a lot with a couple of landowners lately, and I'll draw it into, you know, I've got a daughter who's now 14 months old, and somebody told me, yeah, think about that. You got to celebrate your second Christmas with her. Of course, she was only a few weeks old last year, but this year was the first year of, like, unwrapping some presents. It's like, just think, may only have 18 more where she's right there home for several weeks during the Christmas season. It may be off to college and you only get to see her. And it's like, when you put it into 18 seasons or 18 holidays, now flip that and go, you know, you may only have how many seasons of habitat work do you have before
seasons.
You get to, you know, you've got 5 seasons to do the work. And then once the work's done, now we're going to start seeing the animals really take advantage of the habitat being improved. And then you may only have 15 more seasons to enjoy that. That doesn't seem like a lot. So it's important to really get after it, really make that transition happen fast. That way you can sit back and enjoy it rather than 5 years from now, I go, man, I wish I'd have figured that out a long time ago.
Yes, for sure.
Anyway,
for sure.
Yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy it. And yeah, if it's something you're considering too, you're looking for a farm. I mean, this is our plug. If you're looking for a farm or considering investing in some land, shoot us an email. Get on our website, landandlegacy.tv, and shoot us a go to the consultation or the real estate tab, and shoot us a message.
All righty, Brenton, are you there?
Yes, sir.
And well, welcome to the Land and Legacy podcast. I feel like this is a little bit of a long time coming.
Yeah. Definitely been looking forward to this. Didn't know it would be happening in February of 2020.
Right.
It might be more like May or June.
It's funny sometimes just what all is happening. There's been a lot kind of behind the scenes, but what we want to do today is really just chat with you about kind of the next several months, years, as to what's going to be happening up in your neck of the woods, and kind of how Land and Legacy is going to be a part of that. But it ties in a lot of different aspects of Land and Legacy into kind of one project, and we're super excited. I know Adam and I are. So first off, just kind of want to start with just a little bit of background information on you. Kind of how did this group of friends and family kind of get assembled to be able to begin thinking about purchasing a property together?
Yeah, so, I'd say really, if we want to tell the story correctly, I purchased my first piece of ground probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago. So I kind of scraped my pennies and my dimes together and purchased 60-ish acres about 7 or 8 minutes from my house, and I'd always dreamed and wanted to get my own piece of ground to be able to kind of work on. I ended up buying that with my parents. And so pretty much since then, every piece of ground I've either bought with my parents or with my parents and a business partner, or basically someone who enjoys the outdoors, especially in regards to our recreational ground, not maybe some of our other types of real estate. So, but how this specific group formed was my dad was going to be retiring from farming, and we knew that once he did that, we wanted to start kind of buying recreational ground, fixing it up, and selling it or keeping it, depending on how the cards fall. And we actually, the farming neighbors up to where my parents live approached my dad earlier than he thought. We kind of anticipated and offered them basically a price that they couldn't walk away from. And so they decided to sell everything they had and move to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where my mom works. And we knew that started the trigger of basically, okay, now it's time to go and kind of move forward on buying recreational ground with it as a me and my parents. But I had this feeling like it would probably be good to have one other investor or one other business partner, just because, you know, pieces of property we were going to be looking at were probably 200 to 400 or 500 acre parcels. And so, you know, anywhere from, you know, just under $1 million to maybe two and a half. So, a little bit more than I was maybe comfortable. I mean, me and my parents can maybe bite this amount off, but it would be just make more sense and be wise to just have one other person. So I had been praying about that. And I ironically had some people approach me who knew we've been kind of buying real estate and selling real estate, but they approached me and wanted to partner with me and my parents, but I just didn't feel at peace with it. So I actually approached a friend of mine who I was kind of apprehensive to do so. And he was all in, and he had actually ironically had been wanting to do this for quite some time, but he's very busy and he has a lot of things going on. He actually owns quite a bit of farm ground and recreational ground about an hour east of where I live. And so he wanted to do the same thing for quite some time, but just didn't have the right group of people to do it. And so it was just kind of this, you know, we kind of started to refer to it as the dream team, but basically it's my parents, myself, and a good friend of mine that I've become close with in the past 2 years that I trust and know his heart. And so that first and foremost, if you're going to buy a property with someone, you know, besides having a good operating agreement, you better be on the same page from a gut level, from a, just how you see things and how you want to go about things. And you want to be on the same page, because even a good operating agreement or business partnership agreement, it's really only as good as being able to trust the people you're working with.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely a smart and wise point to be made. If you're going in with a group, got to have the same page, definitely covered there. So if you were to describe, I guess, like the goal of this land purchase, what would that be as a collective? What's the purpose of getting this new piece of property?
Yeah, so we wanted to be able to buy a piece of recreational ground that we felt like had a lot of potential but hadn't been maximized, that a family could come in when we're done with it and be able to enjoy throughout the year, and that also would hopefully return some sort of have some sort of ROI or return on investment. So that's what we were looking for. We had spent quite a bit of time looking online, and when actually this farm came to us when we were going to look at a different piece of farm. But yeah, I mean, basically we were looking for a piece of farm that we could buy right, improve recreationally, that had return on investment, that some other family down the road or group of buyers would be able to enjoy.
I love it. And that's kind of like the whole purpose there of creating and improving habitat is to get other people, not just yourself, but outdoors. So you guys now kind of introduce this piece of property. What is the name of the property? And then kind of describe how Land and Legacy has gotten involved with this purchase.
Yeah. So, we were trying to find the right name, and we were kind of toying with some, you know, different versions. But I think after seeing the farm a couple of times, we knew it had to have oak in it, just because there's some oaks on this farm that we think were probably there back when Lewis and Clark were probably coming through the area. Cause this farm isn't too far away from Sioux City, and Sioux City is, where Floyd Sargent, I believe, was buried. I think that was his name, but one of the crew members of the Lewis and Clark. So there's oaks on this property that we think were probably there or close to when Lewis and Clark came through, before Western settlers, so to speak, came through and kind of changed the landscape. And so they're bur oaks. So between the fact that there's just these awesome, majestic oaks on the farm, and between the fact that there's some views that would probably remind a lot of people of out west, and you can see for 8 to 10 miles, and it's just gorgeous. We called it the Burrow Bluffs. So creative, but not too creative.
It's kind of like, well, I could see that one coming. We got awesome terrain topography features, beautiful, massive bur oaks, and why not just combine the two of them and have a descriptive name, but something that also has like that like almost mighty like strength kind of name built in there. And we haven't done a good job yet of really describing this area. Adam, I know you've worked in this area in the past. I've driven through it, but this was my first time, let's say, being in the Luss Hills. What, when you describe the Luss Hills, what is that to you?
Yeah. So I think you hit on a couple of points there, Brenton, that's just, I want to circle back to, because anybody who's a history buff and has heard the Lewis and Clark journals or read the books or whatever it is, you've done any kind of research, you know that one of their first official meetings with Native Americans was in that area of Iowa near Council Bluffs, and they actually went and met up on the hillside, or the hill that overlooked this Missouri River Valley, and
hence the name Council Bluffs, they had their meeting, and they were actually meeting in the Lust Hills. Now, the interesting thing about the Lust Hills is if you've ever driven through that part of the world, you're driving through miles and miles and miles of crop fields. Mm-hmm. You'll get some slightly rolling crop hills or some crop fields, but you don't really have anything that's mountainous or has any kind of resemblance to mountains or Colorado. And all of a sudden you get a little bit closer to that, to the river. And in some places, like in Missouri, we call them Missouri River breaks, or places when you start getting close to the Mississippi River, it's pretty flat. And all of a sudden there's some terrain. But the Lust Hills are a little bit different than some of those, than a lot of those, actually, because of the fact that they're a little bit more barren, or should be.
Should be, right.
Should be a little bit more barren. And then they have these just big, majestic bur oaks around the sides and on the ridgetops, kind of scattered across in almost a grassland savanna ecosystem. Highly diverse, that overlooks just miles and miles and miles of what is now crop field.
But what would have been beautiful, expansive prairies.
Yeah.
And, like, lower floodplain prairies. Just incredible stuff. And it's really cool to sit up there. I know we all probably took 5-10 minutes on one of the ridges on this farm when we toured it. And we're like, can you just imagine what this place would look like?
No, you think about bison herds and
elk.
Just varying species that would have been living there. And, of course, there's still a highly diverse ecosystem because – you know, when you climb up on the Lust Hills, if you climb up on one that's got a view that doesn't is not completely covered in cedars, you almost get to take a step back in a time machine to what it was pre-settlement.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything, it's never been plowed. It's not really been destroyed, or it's too steep to really build a bunch of homes on it. So it's just climbing the hills, you're climbing back into history and looking at a landscape that has been pretty well untouched. And that's what's so exciting about this, is because with a little bit of work, we can restore it pretty quickly to a native ecosystem that is highly diverse and highly productive for a wide variety of wildlife. And then that's not even counting the views that you're going to get.
No, totally.
So it's a special, special place.
And it's really special. And I know, like I said, Adam and I are super excited, Brenton, to be a part of this project. When you guys reached out and, you know, said, hey, we're looking for a piece of property. This is our goals. We were all about it. I mean, any new landowner we have a chance to be able to work with, is super exciting for us. But knowing the location in which you guys were trying to find a property, that was like, oh man, we want to get in on that for sure. But kind of go back through just a quick explanation of why you reached out, and then how Land and Legacy has helped thus far, and that'll kind of take us into the consultation day when we actually were on the property with you guys, and then we'll kind of, I don't know, we'll describe the property to folks and what's actually there.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, so when everything got triggered, basically my dad's going to be done actively farming January 1st. Selling their acreage, selling their farm. I guess I was initially just planning on us buying a farm and doing the work ourselves and not having another company, let's just say, maybe have boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. I did want to have a company that would do a plan, just because, you know, I knew enough to be dangerous, and I still kind of put myself in that boat, and I probably will be in that boat for quite some time. But I knew I had gone through, I kind of fallen in love with the QDMA philosophy a number of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, shortly after I bought my farm, my first farm. And I knew that I had fallen in love with kind of their philosophy, which is really just getting to understand nature and getting to understand deer and how they interact with it, and the benefits, pros, cons, this, that, and the other. And so I had reached out to a couple different habitat consultants this past fall, just wanting to be able to pick one to come do consultation on the current farm we had, and then also work with the first potential farm to buy and kind of fix up, let's just say, or rehab. And so I had actually reached out to you guys, and I had known that you guys had spoke at QDMA's 30-year anniversary down in Louisiana, right?
Yes.
New Orleans?
Yep.
Yep. New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Sorry. I'm not a Southerner, boys. And so I remember I'd seen Adam Keith and just briefly remember Matt Dye. I remember seeing your guys' kind of intro reel or sizzle reel a couple of years ago back when you launched your company. And so I knew I wanted to check with you guys. If I'm being honest, you know, I hadn't really done a good job of researching everything you guys do, but basically a phone conversation with Matt Dye, because you're the one that returned my email, and I was just pretty blunt, was just like, hey, this is what we're looking for, and we're interested in you guys. And at that time, I didn't know that you guys kind of at the backbone of your habitat consulting is QDMA, which is basically just science-based versus just all the – I'm just going to call it for what it is. Maybe they're like all the sales gimmicks or trinkety – you know, there's a lot of people who dabble in the outdoor habitat consulting world that if you really start to look at it from a research and scientific base, they don't follow QDMA. And so basically my principle is like, hey, if someone doesn't follow QDMA, I'm probably not going to listen to what they have to say, because they're probably maybe more focused on making money than they are the truth behind restoring habitat and understanding deer. So when I reached out to you guys and you guys were interested, basically I didn't know it was going to turn into almost kind of a partnership, but you guys helped us, which was great. And it was actually kind of Matt, if I remember right, Matt, I think it was your idea, wasn't it, to kind of be like, hey, would you be interested in us helping you find the ground, not just you buy a ground and then bring us in?
I think so. That's something, a service that we do offer to people and would like to do more of. But right, we want to help people identify the right piece of property that has the potential to be able to, whether it is enhance the habitat and then bring a new family into that property, or you're just looking, you have different goals and you want to keep it forever. We can kind of help identify and maybe weed out some of the properties on the front end of things that aren't going to be able to do that or provide or have a bigger challenge to do that than others. So
yeah, and we come into it from a non-emotional standpoint.
Correct.
It's easy to be looking at farms and get an emotional attachment because of one little aspect, and then realize that after the purchase, whoa, there was a whole lot more things involved in this.
I should have seen that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I've got a friend who we call it stupid checking. So,
yeah, there you go.
And that was a great idea. I didn't see that. You know, I was just looking at you guys at the time from like a habitat standpoint, but when you guys posed the question of like, hey, can we help you not only do the consultation and rehab the property, but probably more importantly, buy the right property?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And I think so many people miss that. They just look on their own, or they use a real estate agent maybe that is just looking to sell grounds, and maybe even a good piece of ground, but maybe they're not focusing on it the way I am. And I knew that we had to A, buy it right. I knew B, that we had to probably look at quite a few farms before we found the right one. So basically we had to be willing to get a lot of no's, or you can call it disappointment, or basically just not get emotionally attached. And then I knew I needed someone who understood real estate and understood habitat. And that's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I've not met anybody who I feel like you're not paying me to say this. But this is the truth. I don't know. I have not found anybody yet in North America who understands real estate and the habitat side like you guys do. And so once that kind of became like the light bulb, I was like, oh, yeah, we're always using these guys going forward.
I like that.
We appreciate that praise.
We might have to pay him after that.
No kidding.
No, I appreciate that, because that right there is really kind of some direction that we'd like to go and pursue even further. And I think that this project, this is why it got Adam and I so excited to be able to do this, and not only to combine those different, let's say, skills or knowledge into one project, but do it in an area that has so much significance from just a ecological, but opportunity recreational wise though too. I mean, you look at the Western Iowa, I think it's definitely overlooked, but it's like, wow, you can do so much there, and it's so incredibly gorgeous at the same time.
Oh yeah. And so it was crazy. I remember getting the text message from a friend saying, hey, I know you guys are looking for ground, you might want to check this out. And I remember we were actually jumping on a plane with one of the, well, actually all the business owners at that time. So it was my dad and a friend of ours. And so literally we were stepping foot on a plane to go look at some property in Nebraska. And this text message at 12:01 comes in, goes, hey, I think you should check this farm out. Immediately I forward this message to Matt Dye. And I'm like, hey, going to be on a plane. We're taking off here. Can you start vetting this thing? And that's kind of what we had been doing up until this point. Like, we both were looking for farms, land, legacy, and myself. And it was like basically trying to just help each other weed out stuff that's not even worth putting your boots on the ground and going to look at. And so we still have some interest in this Nebraska farm, but we knew this Iowa farm was special. And so it was the first one that I think everyone was like, man, this is it. We think we can get this at the price point we want. This has all the features that we are looking for. And this is in an iconic area that is so overlooked, but is so gorgeous. I mean, more than killing a deer, truthfully, I am excited to rehab this property and go spend a half a day with a journal and sit on the last spot we stopped on that farm before we left and just sit.
Yeah, the Far West Ridge. Brenton, a couple things. So, you know, with this landscape, it's just breathtaking. Let's tie that back into, you know, you purchased the farm, you mentioned it earlier, you're an investment group, and you guys have purchased the farm to rehab, to basically fix it up. And then at some point in the future, you guys are going to walk away, find a buyer, and they're going to take this property, hopefully for the rest of their journey as a family. It could be a family or a business, but somebody's going to find this property and just get to enjoy it for forever. And I think that's one of the things about this property that's so intriguing and was so exciting is we know it. I mean, it's Western Iowa. The deer hunting's going to be good. Upland bird hunting
can be really good.
It's going to be great.
Really good.
Yeah.
really
it's going to be really good. And then you've got upland bird hunting at some point, restoring some areas. Hopefully, you know, there's still a population in the area that will come back on the property. You can hunt cottontail rabbits. You can hunt turkeys. There's a nice little kind of slough area and a lake on this, or pond, whatever you want to call it, a couple acre pond that waterfowl hunting is available. At the same time, there's crops and then
fishing.
And so there's a whole long list of ways to enjoy this property. And then not to even spend too much time dwelling in this, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time because it's worth it. But, you know, we talked about the Les Hills earlier. You know, when Matt and I walked this property in January, and we were getting excited with the wildflowers that we were seeing in their dormant state. You know, there was prairie clovers, lead plant, echinacea, and then all kinds of diverse
sunflowers,
native grasses.
Yep.
That really is like, I don't know what all is going to be blooming in the summer up here, but I'm sure in May or April there's going to be blooms, and it's going to bloom all the way to the end of the summer and into the fall.
Not to mention the amount of shrubs, too.
Yeah.
We see them, but not at that density on most places.
For sure. And so, like, you think about it from a standpoint of a man with a family who maybe not as dead serious about hunting, but they're an outdoorsy family, and so wife, daughter, sons that enjoy the just nature aspect, and they can get up on those hills and side slopes and see all these different flowers blooming, and just like Matt and I nerd out. And so to me, you know, when you initially engaged in reached out to us, it was an opportunity for us to not just help somebody find a piece of ground or help them, give them some coaching on what they should look for. It was an opportunity for us to go from the real estate side, help find a piece of ground, make sure it's the right piece of ground, make sure that it's the piece of ground that is got a great foundation that with a little bit of work can be completely transformed into one of the best pieces of property, highly diverse in that part of the country. Uh-huh. And then we can ensure that whenever the purchase is done right, the initial site visit is assessed, and we can go into it and flip it with the least amount of expense put into it, find ways to cut cost but make a bigger impact, and then all at the same time just make sure it's done the right way. And that's what's exciting for us, is we're getting to walk through this entire process with you. So we're grateful for you for including us in this whole project.
And I think go ahead, Brent.
No, I appreciate it. You know, it's funny. I've always been, for the most part, disappointed with real estate agents up until now. It's just because it's so often I felt like I know more than they know. And I'm not trying to say that to sound arrogant. Literally, we had bought a farm not too far from this down in the floodplains. And the reason we bought it is it sat in the market for a year and a half, and all the opportunity on the farm had never been shown to the next buyer, not even much less the what you have to do to rehab it. And so I feel like you guys were basically a blessing I didn't know was going to be coming, that is like, man, these guys are so far ahead of where you think and feel you're at. And so there's someone that literally just helps you make good decisions. And when you're talking about these kind of dollars, you need someone to, even if you think you have a decent idea what you're doing, you need someone to be someone to help you vet out good and bad decisions. And not only that, but good, bad price points. You know, we actually had looked at a farm 2 months before this in the same region, but it's just way overpriced and they just didn't want to come down. It's a beautiful farm, but you know, honestly, I think I like this one better. I think the views are, then I don't think they are better. It's just, yeah. And so this has been you know, as long as you guys will work with us, man, I doubt this is the last farm we ever do. I think there'll be another one after this, another one after that. And, I'm excited about the process.
Absolutely.
Talk to me a little bit about, this is an investment, so you're treating this as a business. This is kind of there's all kinds of different ways people can invest their money. One of the great things about this is while you've made the initial investment, you still get to enjoy the hunting or the recreational side. So if you don't want to speak on that, this is a great time to let people be aware of the potential of investing in land.
So in all honesty, I'm in some other investment groups where we own apartments, we own storage units, we own developable ground, we own different forms of real estate. I'm a huge believer in real estate, and actually I work in the finance industry, so I believe it's smart to have money in the market too. So I'm not just like, I would definitely say I'm not polarized in any one direction where, you know, you should invest only in the market. You should only invest in real estate. I tell people to do what I do, you know, and I don't expect anybody to do anything different. So, you know, buying recreational ground and fixing it up and doing it right, there's not many people doing it, in all honesty. I think what's cool is I know I don't want to lose money doing it, but I don't, and we're not going to, but I think probably one of the biggest ROIs on doing this is actually mental.
Yeah, definitely.
Or spiritual, You know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes too much, but let's be honest. Just because you have 10, 15, 20 million in the bank when you go to be done, quote unquote, working, doesn't mean that you are fulfilled. It doesn't mean that, you know, that's buying you anything. Money doesn't buy happiness. And so we know for a fact on this farm that we bought it right. But more important than any other types of real estate I own that's not recreational is that this piece of ground, for not just myself and the other owners, we're going to be able to rehab it, feel a lot of it's going to bring a lot of enjoyment and fulfillment. And we are going to be able to the rehabbing is going to be fulfilling. I know that because I've done this part, this side on different farms. But even the hunting, the fishing, today, for example, we just bought, my 5-year-old son's gotten into fishing, and this farm, it's kind of adventuresome because we know that there's really good pan fishing. We think in this farm, the prior real estate company had no clue, which is kind of back to what we talked about earlier. It's kind of a conversation in and of itself, but, we're going to go fishing today as long as weather, permitting with my dad and my kids. And we're going to go find out exactly what's going on this farm and the size of the crappies and the size of the bluegill and hopefully catch some bass. And we're going to go get a return from this ground that's not just money when we go visit it today. And, you know, yeah, I mean,
creating
we're
memories.
Definitely going to, I think not only will we make a good return on the sell of this ground because we bought it right, but this property has ROI that's actually, you know, dollars and cents. And you know, I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But yeah, there's just so many aspects to it. I think the biggest one with recreational, like, I guess that I wanted to touch on is just what it does for you as a person is overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. There's a lot of memories to be made throughout the process, whether it's you working with your dad, whether it's you just learning about the habitat in a deeper way, or creating these and sharing these memories with your son while fishing. But that's the awesome thing is you can do that in the time as you're rehabbing, but then you're creating these opportunities for the next owner at the same time. So, you know, when you pass that off, that just the passing of the torch is fulfilling in and of itself, because you know that what you've created and put time and energy work into is affording those opportunities for the next people. So that's definitely really cool. And through this whole process, you know, we were on site, we came in, we've done the initial, let's say, consultation day. We're working on developing a plan and a report to kind of guide you guys through the transformation of this property. But lucky for us, we're still going to be able to bring everybody updates throughout the next few years on this farm, though, too, Burr Oaks Bluff. And you guys are going to see content. You guys are going to see updates on the podcast, photos, videos, maybe some hunting, hopefully some hunting, because this is going to be a project that we're working on kind of more closely with you guys. And I'm just excited for everyone to watch it develop, though, too, because we talk a lot about habitat transformation, and people are familiar with, you know, the Prairie Hollow property and all these things, but this is another farm in a different region that has different techniques, different things that are going to be exposed, a lot of cropland, but then prairie on it at the same time. So we'll be able to share that. And I think that is really what we're looking forward to as well, Adam, because this is just, we already fell in love with it as soon as you got there. And you kind of go through this entrance on the farm, and it's just like, it just burst open as you go through the hills and just start seeing what lays back behind some of the less hills. And it's like, oh my gosh. So it was kind of like a immediate, yeah, and we're going to like,
well,
this one.
So Matt and I, we kind of have to divide and conquer. We've got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire, and there's only really two of us that are day in, day out trying to grind away and accomplish all this. And so, like with your project, you were initially talking with Matt and working with him on trying to find a piece of ground and looking at pieces of ground that you'd found. And You know, you'd mentioned going over to look at one in Nebraska, and anytime I hear Western Iowa, I immediately think back to that first site visit that I have with another friend that's in the Lus Hills, and it's just like, ooh, I like that area. That is just a beautiful area. And so it was kind of like, well, I don't know where we're going to end up, where you guys are going to find the farm, but and then Matt goes, I think we found one. It's in the Lus Hills. I was like, ooh, yes. I hope they get that one.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, you're not that far away from the previous property I've worked.
No, not at
and
all.
So yeah. It's like, oh, my goodness, I know it's a great area because I've been all around there.
Yeah, I think secretly, you know, we were open to a number of portions of the Midwest. We kind of had a radius from our base of operation in Sioux City, Iowa. But, you know, we were looking at eastern Nebraska. We were looking at western Iowa. Even southwestern Iowa, we were looking at southeastern South Dakota, northeastern Kansas. And I think secretly, though, when me and Matt Diet had talked about this more and more, I think secretly, if we're being honest, we wanted to buy something in, like, the Lus Hills area. I definitely wanted to. I've always wanted to own property. I guess I do own a farm. Me and my parents own a farm, 60-some acres, that's technically in the Lus Hills. It's just more populated. There's way more people, and so it doesn't have this feeling like a stepping back in time that man, you know, I'm kind of glad we actually talked about maybe even trying to do this in 15 months, but then talking with one of the friend who owns this with us, we were like, man, I think 2 years would be wiser. And I maybe secretly behind all that, we were just kind of wanting to selfishly hold it for another year.
Yeah,
get another hunting season in. That's okay.
So, yeah, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. So real quick, let's kind of just give, let's say, a rough overview of the property. And again, this is just an introduction to the property. There'll be a lot more to come on this, but we certainly wanted to introduce it and get everyone's minds kind of thinking about it and excited about it. But rough property layout, Adam, what is it that you see that you're like, whoa, I like this, and here's kind of some high-level habitat features that we're going to be able to restore and or create on the property?
You know, from a go back to the past 200 podcasts we've done, we talk a lot about access. And there's a couple different ways to access this property. There's the way to maneuver around. Access is good.
It got better on site.
It got better on site. It was just a very nice layout. So whatever wind we have, there's the ability to get into a spot where you know you've got a good chance at getting a buck and at least seeing a bunch of deer. But going to the whole restoration side of it, and we're looking at what are we exactly going to restore. We're looking at it and going, okay, we have wide open, barren ridgetops, barren knobs, that's prairie, kind of a short grass prairie where little blue stem is kind of the dominating grass, but then go over to some slopes where we see more of the big blue stem, we're seeing more of the echinacea, and we're seeing kind of more of a savanna transition, then going into more of a woodland, all the way down to your classic hackberry walnut drainage, like lowland area, to then, you know, crop field, which there's kind of that correlation that people have made about, you know, and for you guys, you're getting that income every year with the crops, but at the same time having the ability to hunt crops, standing crops if you want, and then of course you've got, well, we even found Illinois Bundaflower. Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention on this place. Yeah. So yeah. There's just a diversity of landscapes that are all going to be able to be restored.
The shrub component is what got me.
Yeah, and then in the shrub land, you know, the barren ridge top, there's one right there we talked about on that west ridge to end the day. Kind of a cup shape or a C-shape ridge that runs north and south. But down in the bottom is a great patch of gray dogwoods and just
sumac trying to come back.
Sumac,
in,
and then
plums.
Of course you have the taller Siberian elms that are growing there. So those are going to be cut, and we're going back to even more of a shrub component to where it's like, man, this is really, really awesome for the standpoint of we've got diversity all the way around.
Mm-hmm. And you still have that, like, I'm hunting, one, I'm still hunting in Iowa, so there's been some incredible deer in the past in this region, neighboring properties that have been harvested, so we know that they're there. But then you're still hunting in crop ground, but it's not like you're flat Illinois, there's not a hill or anything in sight. Like, you have this unique but beautiful combination of these open hillsides, shrubs, and crops.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is awesome.
And I think that's one thing about, I like more terrain. If I was going to lean on, if I was buying one piece of property, would I want it to be flat or would I want it to be more extreme, almost borderline mountainous or steep hills? I'll go with the mountainous steep hills just for the standpoint of the views, the diversity, and then also the ability to maneuver through
steer
the property.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when it's flat, it's hard to go beside a crop field without being seen. So sure. You picked a good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like we kind of picked it, but I need to thank that friend of mine who I actually own another farm with, and I really appreciate him sending that to me. Honestly, it was funny. This never showed up on any of the search sites.
No.
So it's almost like this little hidden gem. And yeah. And I totally agree. This farm, you know, if I didn't have other farms, I don't think I would let this one go.
there's that emotion we were talking about earlier.
You have to be careful. You got to be careful. I've already told myself from day one, this is not yours. And it's a good thing because we're going to make memories here. And if we weren't going to be moving on to the next place and kind of more enjoying the process of renewing the land in other spots of Western Iowa and throughout the Midwest, you know, I think I would maybe be more sad. I think I know that this won't be the last one like this.
Sure.
I think this one will have unique memories specific to it, but you know, man, this place has it all. It's got the, like we talked about, I think literally you could potentially kill every species in Western Iowa on this farm and catch fish. And it's got a home on it.
That's true.
It checked every single box. And you know, fishing for me was always important, but it's become very important recently because my 5-year-old son, my oldest, is really getting into fishing. He caught a 14-inch crappie on a friend's pond last weekend. It's got, you know, you could plant sunflowers, you could shoot doves, there's a good turkey population. We know for a fact that two deer over 200 inches were killed in the same season within 2 years that were deer on this farm.
Yeah.
That got killed by a neighbor. And this is with overgrown, overstocked, hasn't been taken care of habitat. So we're talking about monstrous deer, which I knew anyways, that are in this area with, you know, a lot of ground with potential, but it's not ground it's ground that's in much need of restoration.
Absolutely.
And the pinch points and the hunting setups, I mean, my gosh, I'm going to be able to drive with a UTV within 200 yards of some of these setups and be hunting over standing food that's within 200 yards of where we know for a fact, because we already have bucks coming from these spots. I don't know if I told you guys, I pulled the camera. And we're going to have deer coming off of bedding areas well before shooting light is out. And it's going to be, I mean, I'm telling you, I don't want to say it before it's too early, but it's going to be a buffet of what do you want to shoot?
Oof. It's going to be cool. This area in this farm specifically, we were walking and it was like, yeah, this hunt's so, so easy. So this is just the intro to Burr Oaks Bluff, but I hope everyone is super excited for the additional information and content to be able to follow along on such a unique project. We're certainly thanking you, Brenton, and your family and associates to entrust us to be able to help you guys along on this process. Really and truly, it's a joy, one, to be able to work with you guys and just know kind of where your hearts are and what the goals are for this. It fits us and what we do on a daily basis really well, but my gosh, just one, the friendship and the beauty of this property is like, man, you don't have to twist our arm to get us back up there. We certainly enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Adam, you got any other thoughts there?
No, sir. I'm just very excited to be along for the ride and see the whole restoration of the Burr Oak Bluffs property.
Yeah, and I just one more thing that I think is just kind of important that I wanted to touch on real quick that we maybe haven't talked about, but you know, one of the owners that's not family, when we had talked about this and decided to move forward, one of the big things that we want this to be with this farm or any other farm is just we want it to be a blessing to others. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we're excited for and looking forward to is being able to expose people to the outdoors who maybe don't have access or don't have the means to can use the benefits of what we all know comes from spending time out in creation. And that more than killing deer, in all honesty, I am most excited to just see this ground in its purest form and to show people it who maybe haven't experienced the outdoors or the Les Hills in its purest form and just what that does for you. I just wanted to make sure I touch on that one more time. Cause
yeah, definitely.
There's going to be people who hunt this farm who don't own this farm.
Yeah. For sure.
And there's going to be hopefully kids and friends and people we've never met who get to take a doe or maybe a buck or that have never stepped foot on hunting ground, maybe ever.
Yeah. Fishing or just going to sitting on those ridges and watching the sunset. Oh, man, you talk about the community and fellowship there. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you hammering that home because that's super important. And honestly, it's probably tie in really well to the next podcast that we're going to be recording. So, thanks again. Super, super appreciative of the opportunity. Hope everyone is kind of jazzed up about the Burr Oaks farm because this is Burr Oaks Bluff. Excuse me. This one's going to be fun.
This one is just the beginning, but yes, this is gonna be fun.
The best is yet to come.
Ooh,
best is yet to come.
I like it. I like it. So, Brenton, thank you for your time, sir. We will catch up with you later.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Well, there you have it, guys. Mr. Brenton. I'm not even going to try the last name.
You're not even going to attempt the last name.
I'm not even going to attempt. No. When you grow up and everybody around you seems like Scotch or Irish, it's like, oh, last name Keith, last name Ty, last name Jones. So what? And then you get the German in there and you're like, ooh.
Kutzenberger.
Feichenberger or something. Yeah. Yeah. And I married a Schubach. So,
yeah.
Oh man! Wow. So there he is, Brenton, representing his group of investors.
And the Burr Oaks Bluff Farm.
Yeah.
With a name like that, it's like that thing's got to be. I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah, it's a beauty. Yeah, it's one of those that you know we try to take pictures and we've got some drone shots and I don't know. I'm trying to look at drone shots to maybe put as the cover of this or the thumbnail of this podcast. Or actually, we'll probably use a picture from a phone, but it doesn't even do it justice. Pictures sometimes when you get the mountains and the skyline, it's just never does it is exactly like you see it. So, but this is a beautiful farm. It's an awesome opportunity for us. So this is thank you from Land and Legacy to Brenton and his team for including us and working with us on this. It's going to be awesome to walk through this whole transformation.
Well, without a doubt, I hope that everyone is just jazzed up about it as we are. You'll see stuff on social media, YouTube, additional podcasts down the road about Burr Oaks Bluff Farm. So it's going to be a cool one to follow along with, guys, and hope you guys get excited about it. And let us know if you guys have any questions regarding land sales or consultations or just getting your property tuned up. We would love to help you out.
All right. Yeah.